Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. In several places in God's Word, the Bible lists genealogies. And it will say, so-and-so lived, begat, and died. Lived, begat, and died. Now, is that all that there's going to be to your life? You lived, you begat, and you died. And quite frankly, if some folks don't change some of their ways, you're not going to live much longer. Lived, begat, and died. Oh, would you like God to take control of your life? And there be something far more than you ever dreamed would take place in your life. Now, I'm going to share something, and you're going to think I'm just trying to brag, and I'm not, sort of. But growing up, I had a great interest in knives. I would save up my money, and I would buy a knife. And of course, like a lot of young men, I'd lose them. I'd have to save up and buy another one. And so whenever I came here over 20 years ago, I'd been here for a good while then, but 20 years ago, a man in our church liked to make knives. And so he invited me to come over, and I was looking at some of his knives. And he said, you know, you can buy a kit. And said, why don't you order a kit and just and make one? So anyway, I did, and it was just a fixed blade knife. Well, to my surprise, somebody wanted to buy it. Well, then I started making more, and more knives, and more people were buying them. And I was enjoying doing that. And one day, my oldest son said, Dad, I want a pocket knife. I said, son, I don't make pocket knives. That's a mechanism. And he just stayed on it until one day I was at the knife supply store. And I asked the owner there, I said, do you have any pocket knife kits? He said, yeah. I said, oh, no. So he sold me a simple one. I took it home, I put it together, and I was hooked. And so then I found myself quite often over at the knife supply store having to buy stuff, and so I was kind of complaining in there about this had turned into a job. I intended for it just to be sort of a hobby. And there was a man standing there, and he's a doctor, a physician. And he said, you really are a preacher? Because he had heard the owner refer to me as preacher. And I said, well, I have been accused of that. But anyway, he said, and he told me what church he was a member of, and that he liked to go on mission trips and stuff. But I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, preacher, he said, you know, not all men like preachers. I said, well, yeah, I know that. He said, but just about all men like knives. And I realized that my interest in that hobby was something that God intended to use as a ministry. And so one of the things I enjoy doing is I enjoy making them and donating them to different causes. Now, don't come up here and tell me that you're a good cause, okay? But I enjoy doing that. As a matter of fact, I have one that I've donated, and they're going to be auctioning it off for the Pregnancy Resource Center in Baytown, one that I'm working on. But anyway, to my surprise, now you got to hear this out or you'll tune me out. I donated one just last year to the homeless services for the Bay Area. And whenever they're auctioned off at these causes, I can't believe what they bring. And that one brought $5,000. Now, that knife wasn't worth $5,000. Matter of fact, you could buy that same knife for just a fraction of that. But why did it bring that? It was because of the purpose that it was being auctioned off for. It wasn't the person who made it. It wasn't the product itself. But you see, there is power in purpose. Now, listen to what Jesus said in verses 42 and following of chapter 4. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving. Now pause right there and let's just preach another sermon for a moment, okay? It is wrong for us to be greedy with Jesus. It is wrong for us to act like that old song, "Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about." Our purpose is not to hang on to Jesus. He'll hang on to us. Our purpose is to give him away. And the more we give him away, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:24 that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. But the Bible says, but there is one who scatters and has more. And the more of Jesus we give away, the more of Jesus we have. It's just an amazing thing that happens in Scripture. And so Jesus, they were just trying to hang on to him and not let anyone else have him. And they just didn't realize they will never have more of Jesus than whenever they try to give him away in every way they can. And so Jesus said, he said to them, verse 43, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." Jesus was someone who didn't make an impression on this world. He left an impact on this world. And there's a great deal of difference. Jesus said, My job is not the kingdom of God. My job is to preach the kingdom of God. Now, how many times have you talked with someone and you're trying to help them because their life is a mess and they're going in the wrong direction and you care about them, and they will say to you, "Don't start preaching to me," when in fact preaching is exactly what you and I have needed from time to time. We need to preach about it. The Bible says that Jesus preached the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Look at this with me. The kingdom of God. Oh, I jumped ahead, didn't I? Sorry. Hold on before we talk about what the kingdom of God is. Here's what a purpose does. It seizes, it sends, it shares, and it has a source. Whenever there is a purpose that you get excited about, it consumes you. Now, we have a new person on staff at Old River. His name is Davin, and he is our minister to our middle school students, and doing a wonderful job. And Davin is engaged to one of our girls that grew up in the church here, and they're getting married in December. Now, do y'all know what we're having to put up with in the office right now? A young man that is smiling even when he's sad. I mean, because he is consumed. I mean, that purpose has seized him. And, you know, he ought to be really happy. I mean, that boy, he's getting to marry JC. He's definitely outkicked his coverage. And and he is just, he is, it's a purpose seizes you. And then it sends you. What happened to Jesus here? He said, for this cause, he didn't say for this cause I've been called. He said, for this cause I've been sent. Great deal of difference between being called and being sent. And he shared it. And every purpose has a source. Now, here's the problem that every one of us can have from time to time. We go to the wrong source to get our purpose. Now, you have a purpose right now. Where did that, what was the source of that purpose? How did it come about? Is there something that you are pursuing? Maybe not everyone realizes it, or you don't, you're trying to keep it a secret. But there is something that has gained control of you, and you are pursuing it, and you have no business being a part of it. Jesus, his source, was the Father. And so, if there's going to be power in the purpose, and it's going to seize you and send you and have you to share it, you want to be sure that the source that it comes from is a godly source. Now, Jesus said, what I've been called to, what I've been sent to do is to preach the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Now we're ready for it. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. God rules. Revealed in Christ for the redemption of mankind. Mankind. You know, Purdue University just came out with a policy telling all of their professors they are not to use the term mankind anymore. That's offensive. They're to use humankind. Mercy. We're so politically correct that the words politically correct are sickening. I want to talk to you about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick was raised by, became a believer, a Christian. You know who Colin Kaepernick is? He's third string quarterback now for the San Francisco 49ers, who refuses to stand during the playing of the national anthem. You know what happened to Colin? Do you know that he tattooed himself with verses of scripture? But he got off. And he got away from the Word of God. And he started following some Islamic extremist. And you see what it's done to him. And we need to pray for him. Whenever you are consumed with a purpose, there is power in it. And what it did is it helped Jesus to keep his focus. Notice what he focused on. He focused on the scripture. He focused on prayer. He focused on others. And he focused upon his sacrifice for sin. He focused on the scriptures. It is amazing what the Word of God does. It's amazing how just reading the Word of God can change a person's life. The scriptures are so important. In the first part of chapter 4, Luke tells us about Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. And in the temptation in the wilderness, what Jesus did whenever Satan came to him, by the way, if Satan came to Jesus to tempt him, he's sure not scared of you or me. And Satan came to him. You know how Jesus defeated him? Quoted scripture to him. He just quoted the scripture to him. Now the Bible teaches us that Jesus, when he left the temptation in the wilderness, he came to a synagogue, and the Bible says they handed him the Bible, and he took that word of God, and he began to read it. He kept his focus on the scriptures. You need to read the scriptures. You need to read God's word. You say, Brother Danny, where do I start? I'm glad you asked that. Let me just share something with you. If you haven't done this, do this. Start tonight and take the New Testament and read the last chapters of the New Testament. Tonight, and don't read more than two at a time. Read the last chapter of Matthew and the last chapter of Mark. And as you're reading that, say, Lord, how do you want the last chapter of my life to read? He studied the scriptures, and he was always found in prayer. There has to be a balance between reading the scriptures and talking with God. Amazing what God will tell you whenever you're talking with him and listening to him. Amazing what he will tell you. It's amazing that God would listen to us when we pray. And I'll tell you what else is neat is when God answers those prayers. He answers those prayers. Matter of fact, I haven't answered prayer. I just thought about it. Now, some of you may know about the highway patrolman who was struck by a drunk driver going 100 miles an hour. And he has been in critical, critical condition. And so, let me find it here. Yesterday. Had some setbacks today. After removing breathing tube, they tried two other types of breathing assists. CO2 levels were all messed up, and he was highly agitated with some delirium causing his vitals to skyrocket. Had to put the breathing tube back in. X-rays show a lot of secretion still. So the good news is they can suck that out with the tube. And so I texted him back and I said, keeping all of you in our prayers, thanks for the update this morning. As a matter of fact, while I was preaching this morning, I forgot to turn this thing off. And said, ding, ding, right in the middle of my sermon. But anyway, I looked at it later and said, good news, prayer warriors. Yesterday, the doctors sent us out saying they were putting the breathing tube back in. It did not happen, praise God. They put him on a compression mask and last night went back to the nasal oxygen. Now, you might want to just, right now while I'm preaching, you might want to just start praying because you haven't told God some things you needed to tell him and let him deal with some things. And then Jesus spent time with people who were lost. People who were lost. He didn't spend time with those who didn't need the physician. He spent time with those who needed healing. Those who needed demons cast out. Those who needed their sight restored. Those who were lame and needed to walk again. Those who had an issue of blood for 12 years and were healed. Oh, it's amazing. The power of purpose. And then Jesus kept his focus on where he was headed. Jesus was born to die. He was born to go to the cross and sacrifice his life for the sin of the whole world. Now you might be thinking, man, Brother Danny, by the way, there were people who tried to keep him from doing that, but he didn't let anything happen to stop him. You might be thinking, well, Brother Daniel, that doesn't sound like a great purpose. How could Jesus do that? Well, let me share with you. I'm glad you asked that. Here's the reason why. He knew the possibilities. He knew what was possible for you and for me by him going to the cross of Calvary. He knew the possibilities. Now, all the people around him had no idea the possibilities until they saw on the third day that he rose and he came out of the grave. And we're starting a series today to talk about all the possibilities that the power of purpose in your faith, in your family, in your finances, in the fellowship, in your friendships. And we're going to see what Jesus had to say about those things. And you just might be amazed at the power and the energy that it puts into your life whenever you just stop living, begetting, and dying, but have a purpose, a method behind your madness, if you please. Well, how many of you drink those energy drinks? Come on, confess it. Confess it. Yeah. 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 How many of you know that your children did that? And there's all kinds of those energy drinks. I looked some of them up just so I'd know. I've never tried one. I just do coffee, which is pretty good. But anyway, there's Monster, isn't that one? And I saw NOS, and I saw Energy 2000, Red Bull, which is a bunch of bull. Anyway. But do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God has provided an energy drink for you. In Ephesians, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to invite you right now to bow your head and lift your heart to God and ask the Lord for his Holy Spirit to energize your life. And I invite you to listen to him. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what only God can do and say. Listen to him. Listen to the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? The Holy Spirit convicting you about the purpose that you've been living for? Is the source not what it should be? Is the Holy Spirit inviting you to be a part of the kingdom by confessing your sin and accepting Christ as Savior? Is the Holy Spirit inviting you to be a part of his church here on Old River? What are you waiting for? Don't get into a discussion. If you know this is where God wants you, then just come. I invite you to experience the power of purpose by letting your source, your course, and your force be Jesus.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.